we have to move the next week to somewhere. I told us yesterday, and we have discussed it shortly, because next week the whole chair is away. So we decided to move it to Thursday, 2nd of July, to 4 p.m. So we combine both the exercise and the lecture. I don't know if you want to contribute this discussion or you don't care. Paul, you don't care. All right. Now, just want to make sure that no one has any special preferences about it. Okay. So, right. Where are we? I'm giving you something. Mm-hmm. What about you? Yeah, I didn't see. I saw that the emails arrived, but so everything was there. I don't know. So was it difficult this time? Was it difficult this time? Looks somehow heavier than previously. It's difficult to come up with something complex because the category is simple. So there is either one morphism or no morphism. So the choice is pretty limited. Okay, yes, I wanted to add a short note concerning the strings. I have mentioned that at the lecture, but then I couldn't remember the argument precisely, so I have given some candidate expression for the strings, but from that expression I couldn't explain another my point that I mean, that expression explained why something like strength is needed, but it didn't explain what precisely is the gap that the strength is covering. And alternative expression for strength, so would be this one. I need to have to check it again. And this is in steps. And the point is, it doesn't work in other categories, and I'm going to explain why this is precisely the point. So let's first check if this works as expected.
expected.
So this thing goes from B to A times B. And if you apply contour, the contour, then you would have hopefully something like this. And then right, what happens next? Then I bind this this X, so in the end I would have A to TAD. And then I uncar it right as it here until this point, because that's the type of this thing, and then I have got lambda x, so I have added an additional arrow, and I write an exponential like this. So this involves a bit of hand-waving, because in general categories, you need to distinguish between morphisms going from A to B and exponential objects, which are commonly written like this. So this would be a domain for objects, and this would be the morphisms. But in sets we can confuse them, that's okay. And if I uncar it, so this TP goes here, so I would have CA times B. So this matches the typing. So this would be indeed a candidate for strings. And this is how it works in sets. And precisely the trick here is as the one which is specific to sets and some other few categories, and that we can apply this T to such things. So essentially, that T extends from a map from home A to B to home A B to a morphism. So that's a trick. This is what we have in PST used in that construction. So we convert it from, not only we convert it from morphisms to objects and back, but we also use the fact that our functor extends from a correspondence on home sets to a correspondence on exponential objects. So we can start with such a thing and obtain this thing. And this is really a non-trivial property. And it's called enrichment. So I'm not going to explain this. So this is called so there was a theorem by category theorists, Anders Cook, who proved that having a strength to a functor, I mean, we just using strengths for monads, but you just as well you can have strengths for functors. So that makes sense for a functor, for any functors too. And he proved that strength is equivalent to enrichment. And enrichment means that property. So And the reason why we have it for free in sets is because in sets every pointer is enriched. Because every pole set is a set itself. So and the functor is a function over sets, because all sets are functions. All sets are sets, and functors is a map of sets. Okay. So let's do some calculations, maybe. But Walter, I think you didn't deliver it.
Yeah.
I think we start from the beginning. Just alright. You can use yours.
Do you have the exercise sheet?
Everything all right? Stressed?
No.
Huh?
I didn't do this. So, the task was to prove that the two definitions of a monad are equivalent. So, we all read. Piece of paper would be easier, but I don't have one. So, I think we already gave, already defined the this in the lecture, so,
do you remember the diagrams for eta nu, etc.? For eta nu?
No, yes. I'm a bit confused because the one we had in here was a star, but I think that doesn't belong there. So I just wanted to check if this is indeed true. Yes, it is.
That's by one of the diagrams. Hmm? It's by one of the diagrams.
Yeah, so, please ignore the star, which is in the version we had. Okay. That's the first. That's actually the part of the exercise we're not absolutely sure about.
We can just prove it anew. I mean, this proves not difficult. We can just construct them again. So what happens here? What's your idea?
Ask them because he did this exercise.
Well, and the example I will ask you.
Yeah.
So it's your interest to understand that.
Yeah. What do we do here?
So first step, we just use the definition, right? So
yeah,
you unraveled the definition of the Gleisner star from above.
Yeah.
And basically, you've got this mu, tf, and theta. And I mean, the freedom is very restricted with this calculation. What you have is like three diagrams for the monads, plus the naturality of the natural transformations.
Yeah.
And apparently, the axioms for monads do not apply because they always involve a mu and Newman. They must be together. And you see that here we've got TF in between. So you obviously cannot apply any of these diagrams. So you're supposed to apply a naturality condition either for mu or for mu.
For mu or for what?
Either for mu or for nu. For nu. For eta, sorry.
Yeah.
Because both of them are natural transformations, right?
Yeah, so what can we do? So we should be able to just apply it on eta.
Yes, that's the right. At least you're pointing to the right position. So I mean, there is a place where you can apply naturality points. And can you draw a diagram for A to be natural? Just at the side of the board, maybe. So eta is a natural transformation. What it means as a diagram? Right, so the diagrams have objects in matrices and amorphisms as labels for
that.
Yes.
So,
so what's the type of eta?
Type of eta. It's Well, we gave the definition with some F and some G, which were both categories, but I don't really
see. Well, in most cases, each has the same type. So we got equivalent dimensions of the monad, but in both cases, each is defined the same way. I mean, it has the same type at least. So, what's the role of eta? Eta is something which converts a value to a computation, right? So we start with some object like x.
Yeah.
So x must be on the left-hand side. Yes, and on the left-hand side we get tx. Yes. So I'm really encouraging you to understand the intuition about it, because eta as like making pure things computations. Okay. So on the left hand side you've got pure thing, which is x,
yes.
And on the right hand side you've got a computation.
So we got f of x here, and we get some numbers right here, and we can also apply eta here to
So this is almost correct, but there's a check is mentioned someplace. Yes.
So like this.
So and now you can see how it applies, can't you?
We have
the diagram, because the type of f should be x to tx, shouldn't it?
No,
to some ty in the case on the bottom left, but in the general case it's some f from x to x.
Yeah, okay, but if that's just naturality, specializing the types,
I think was the point of it.
I thought that the diagram would already be specialized for RK.
So you should be able to check. So this here should be 2. So we can be able to do something like this.
No, but that's not on the diagram at all.
Wait,
on the diagram there is no t at t.
Wait,
I'm do eta and mu, it gives identity.
T, so we get just F here.
Yeah, you could do it in two steps. So first step would be I T F.
Yeah, this one.
Yeah.
So. Which means both T is just F.
Yes, I do.
And then first of all, show what was needed in core is
so. Can't you remember it? I can tell you the way to remember this this thing.
What I have to show or complete.
No, the goal, because you see.
Yeah, I want to show this.
Yeah, okay. I was just wondering if it makes sense, because one may wonder how to remember this expression. I just can quickly tell you how you do it. Well, because this is just. If you wanted to. Well, this axiom is associativity. It's associativity in the quasi category. So if you wanted to write down an associativity axiom, it would look like this. F, G, H. Right? But in quasi category, when you form a composition, you always add the stars to the left component. Right? Because if I wanted to express composition, associativity with the classic composition, that's what I would write. So every time the star left to the composition, and now the right hand side can be written because this is just a normal composition. Right? And then you cancel the sheets. Because to prove the whole thing, it suffices to prove it for G equals identity. And if you do it, that's what you will arrive at. I don't know, so to me that's that explains why it's like this and how to remember it.
Which is equal to just distributable in the T.
So I see the first step, because the first step is just a definition. So what's the idea in the second step? What property are you using here?
I guess again in the geology.
No.
Distributivity.
Well, it's kind of distributivity, but that's not how we named it. Well, it's just the axiom of a functor. So T is a functor, right? So
okay.
A functor respects composition. Yeah, it's kind of distributivity, of course, but I wanted to see to which what it belongs to. It belongs to the functor.
Mm-hmm. any name for these diagrams? The arrow brought apart from the triangle.
I did. I would still call this the axioms involving unit laws, and the one for muon the associativity. And this clashes with the same things for the rotation from the Kleistner star, but they are essentially the same effect. They symmetrize the same effect.
At least we can use this commutativity diagram to.
So that I call associativity of. You can call it associativity of mu.
So we use this associativity of mu to transform this part, which.
Yes.
The next step is a second. This. Again, the triangle identities to
there are not so many things you can do about it.
Well, I guess we just start from the other side and see where we get.
That we can do too, yes.
I guess that's an easier way at least. So this expands. Because it's new here and
so again, what choice do you have here? You cannot use any of the monopoles, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Because
all of them, yeah. What?
Because we have the T's here in the.
Yes, yes, exactly. So all the monopoles, they involve some composition of mu and mu. And here there is no composition of them because there are two moves, but they are separated. So that's not an option. What other options are there? So what are the other options?
Naturality,
right? There's nothing else. So, and what are the natural transformations here?
I guess we just have
should let catch the scale counter as high as possible. Now we need four.
Yes, it's a good idea. Except check the type of open. Just modify the type of it.
The type of
you.
I don't remember.
Alright, so the new is not just some categorical nonsense. It has a certain intuition. I've tried to explain it last time as lists. So you can have it as an example of the list one, and then eta is an insertion of an element forming a unit, a singleton list, and mu is the function which collapses the list of lists into a single list. So the right hand side t of x, if t is the lists, then you would have a list over x. So and on the left hand side you must have a list of lists. Yes, precisely. So this mu's and mu's, you should make some sort of some sense of them. Otherwise, of course, it's not possible to remember anything. They have certain carry certain intuition.
Okay, so we have this one here. Indeed, it's like.
Yeah, I used to think this is. Yeah.
So, for first.
And I think those were the two cases where I could actually use proof by chasing.
Yeah, well, this class list is always difficult. You can use it only to a certain extent because, you can do the first step.
I know.
And then.
I mean, after you. Expanded
yes, so the first step must be expansion, yes, and then you can do the yes.
So, what was the first part?
We have done two directions. We translated one definition to the other and the other way around. But we also need to make sure that these are reversible directions, yes? Because it could be that one does it one thing and one way and the other one wouldn't be compatible with it. So we really want to have an isomorphism. And to verify that it's an isomorphism, like in categories, you need to show that both compositions, no matter where you start with, produce identities.
So that was part 2 and 3 of the exercise. Part 2 was which direction? If we start with a monad, it will be class list star. We have we want to give it this way, and we transform it using these three rules. Yeah, we do. Oh, wait a second. No. Just for part three. Yes. So, where did you get these? Did we define them more in the lecture, I guess? For sure. Yeah. We
Yes, start to wrap. So I guess we didn't really have a notation for this T where we need one for...
It's just the same sheet.
Yeah, but in the other definition we have to define it for functions and objects separately, I guess?
Yes, but for objects it's defined the same way, and for functions it's just not defined on the left-hand side. So one can use the same letter, in my opinion, because there is no inconsistency.
We wrote it as a kind of tuple inside.
Yes,
to
this is tuple, T.
The T part with one part, we wrote like this, where... what was the So wrote this and to denote that this is the definition for the for object and this for functions. I don't know if there's a better way. So we wrote it like this. I don't know if this makes much sense. I'm not sure. Do you understand?
Well, I understand what you're doing. You can do it like this if you want. I mean, that doesn't really matter how you denote it. I think in the exercise I just used like that's used eta and nu. Yeah, I mean, and we are proving that they are the same anyway. It's not about having a definition. It's about in this case, it's about completing the definition, because eta on the left-hand side is just a family of morphism, while on the right-hand side it's a natural transformation. So you're not defining a different eta, you're just proving more properties of eta. But mu, you're defining, of course, but you can use the letter mu, because it doesn't appear on the left-hand side anyway, so there's no question.
Where shall we use
on the right hand side, I would just write the right triple as T eta mu.
Okay, so then. So we have. Yeah, we have new defined as this. Identity star and to show that...
That's not... I don't know what the goal of writing this down like this. So I thought that you want to like draw this chain, which is like an exercise. So the first is T eta F, and then T eta mu, and then again T eta and say F dagger. Because what is F? That's I'm using their star, meaning that it's like argument, and then use a different star here. Because I mean, how we pass from here to there? We say that we define T as this T and mu as this mu, and mu in u. Well, okay, we maybe want to yeah, well, I think I don't, we don't need a new notation here. All right. Because this T is an extension of that T that was a correspondence of objects, and this is a functor, but it's the same T. Well, one can maybe to distinguish it. Let me write T cat, meaning that this is a functor which works like this on objects, but additionally it works on morphisms. And let me write T tilde here, because here we again reduce from T hat to some functional objects, and I mean, I think it was not even needed. And right, so there is nothing to prove for this component, because first I started with a correspondence of objects, then I extended it to a functor, and then I took back the correspondence of objects. So it's the same T every time, except that here we read it as a functor. And the same thing happens to eta. So it was a family of morphisms, and then here we converted it. Well, we just use the same eta, but additionally we proved that it is an actual transformation. And then we use the same eta again here. So the only part to do something about is this component, because here we convert Kleist's star to mu, and then we start from mu and get a Kleist's star, and there is a priori no evidence that it's, this Kleist's star will be as the original one. So I propose we just stick to the proof that the third component becomes the same as the original one.
Yeah, so this mu we define as I star, and then we use this definition for the Kleist-based star to get this dagger. So we
so here we can use that for
is
and this is dagger.
Yeah, right. Mu. What's the value of the torus?
Right. Okay, but this is not. This can be written further, because because original T was not a functor. So this TF was defined in the second step in terms of eta and star, right? Supposed to write it further, yes, you write it further.
It's running out. Star was remains, I guess. Yeah, I should change.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. exactly. Yeah. So for the star loss, you need the star outside the direction.
So, right, you are using the wall which is on the board on the top.
Exactly.
So, you're using it from the right to the left.
Yeah. I don't think I'll get to the other. How do we get? The same as the chest and
no, isn't it like my palm the most? It's on the board.
Yeah.
Well actually, no. Probably. Well, it's on the board, it's part of the proof that you have done previously. So you proved this law, just yes. Yes.
Right.
This one.
This, yeah. So we have just F, which is I think is error. When we get.
Yeah, so let's see what actually should be distinguished here. So on the left, we start with t being a functor, which we restrict to a correspondence on objects, and then we extend it to a functor back. So something happens with t, and I would probably just change the last component. Right, t prime. So there is no guarantee that this t prime is the same as t. Right, and it remains the same, of course.
So
so here we need to prove two things: that t is equal to t prime and mu is equal to mu prime.
I guess we should just start with mu. So mu. Wait. One second. how do you define mu prime as mu third t of mu prime? This doesn't
wait.
Seem right.
Yeah. This is just. confused with this new here.
Yeah, so that's gonna be a short proof, right? Why does this fold?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, because t is a functor and functors preserve identities.
Yes.
So those two identities are not the same identities, but first identity is on some x and second is on tx.
Yeah. Right, so why we should do it for t, because we cut down this t to an correspondential object, and then we extend it back to functions. So we just need to verify that t prime is consistent with t on functions, because on objects it always remains the same.
So, on functions we define tf like
t prime,
right? F like this.
Yes.
So, we want to show this.
So you have folded forward, right? You did this above already once. So you need to unfold the star.
Yeah. So this is U. Wait. This really T and F is.
Yes.
So, I see.
Why is that?
Same argument as here. What was it called?
Yeah, well, that's an axiom of being the functor.
Yeah.
I just want
to
say what property of what you're using, because we're using joint properties. Categories, functors, natural transformation, monads. So there's a some selection of whose property you're using. So that's a property of a functor, it's not a property of eta, for example.
Okay, so this
Yeah, right. This one, this is one of the all the triangle identities. So this just yields the identity, which just yields the t we wanted.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or this
okay.
Okay, let's go on. So who can do the second, first part of the second exercise quickly? You can do it quickly?
I think so.
Also, go on.
Here the exercise was to show that lists T are monad and so our eta just returns a list containing that element and the price list are for an arbitrary list. And just applies F on every list. And this item concatenates the resulting lists. So then we have to show for these two, or we have to show the monad loss for this. So first, eta star of any an arbitrary list here, and then if we expand the size list star, we get eta applied to A1, all of these concatenated until last element, which then each of these just yields a singleton list. And if we concatenate these again, we get the same list as we started with. So this is indeed an identity.
Yes, correct.
Then we have to show that this is just this. Let's see again. That this is just the same as the function f itself. So it's just as I just like to write it like this because it's a clear to me. So we get that star of a single to this containing A, this match, yes. Which when we expand it just applies F to A and
concatenate as many times as you get elements in the list.
Nothing, so we get to
yes.
That thing. The last one is
So we just again take an arbitrary list and then apply the Bessley star. So we apply this function here on every element in the list and concatenate them all. So we replace it because we will reduce the other side to the same. Which then deals just the same list as here because this f just operates on a single item in this list, so it doesn't matter if we first apply g and then concatenate the list, or if we do it the other way around first. Apply both functions and then concatenate the list. So this indeed is the same, and this third model now holds.
Yeah, so because Bessley star right here distributes over concatenation by the function. And so the other property that you actually invoke here is associativity of this concatenation. Well, if it's implicit. But that's what make all this happen, and this is I think useful to notice because the proofs so that something is a monad always relies on the fact that the underlying data structure has some associativity properties. So for lists, concatenation is associative, and that's why it induces a monad. And then we have seen this. Monoid was it semi-module monad, so and it was it semi-module? Yes, monoid or semi-module monad, keep forgetting the name. And that relies on monoids being associative. So when proving that something is a monad, there must be something in the background being associative. All right, thank you. Did someone do this exercise differently?
Well, yeah. Basically, I defined my lists as tuples, so and I didn't use the concatenation, but.
So what I meant is someone maybe did it using the other definition of the model.
Well, no.
No. No one. All right. This is interesting because I think there are like new people and star people. And there are only star people here.
Come to think of it, I think I did it with you, and I'm not quite sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I did it with you.
You did it with me. Right, so maybe you could summarize this calculation quickly.
Okay.
I mean the calculation for the associativity of mu, because it's the most interesting part. Essentially this one, right?
Yeah, but it's not pretty.
I think it can be useful because we stick to the definition of a monad with the Python star and it pays off in many cases. So like hopefully one day we will, and there are not so many tests left, but I will try to cover it. There is a model which is called continuation model. And if you use the classical definition for brute force, it's just a horrible expression. And it's much simpler to do the proofs in terms of Python star.
Yeah.
And here, this is one of the examples where actually the proofs using mu is quite sensible and intuitively understandable, I think.
Yeah, I mean, mu in this case is goes from lists of x to x and a list of x. And we already mentioned that it depends the list inside, so
Is it a concat has to
be? It's the has function of concat, yes.
So now you know that concat has some important mathematical properties that we had before. That's multiplication of the monad.
Associativity of that is just calculation. Okay. So at first, syntactically define X to be some list.
So what is it equal to?
Yeah, it's, but that should stand for syntactical substitution. I really don't need it to be an actual type of object. And why it's the same for Y in a set.
But so how should I mean it? Is it a list? X1 to Xn?
No.
What's
it's a string of characters.
A string?
Yeah, and this is notation for a list.
You don't want to confuse the notation for types and for elements.
I don't know, I mean, that was just convenient because I can write this. I can write some such strings, and I can write this, which would mean if you substitute the right hand side here, would mean to be just a concatenated list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was just easy there. I could have defined that as lists and use plus or and here. Yeah, so this gets a list of lists of lists, and that's where I use my axis. And of course, the second level list can be more than this list. And set. And this is now we apply concat to the second level lists, so we still have the outer list, but these are now concatenated. Which, of course, now concatenates these inner lists and produces a single list. Like that. And I mean this a little notational awkward, but yeah, I thought it conveyed the idea that we had lists of lists, and first flattened the beginner lists, and then the outer list, and yeah, if you do the whole thing the other way around, first flattening the outer lists, then we concatenate these lists here, and have them something like x dot y. After compatibility of these second level lists and applying concat again produces the same list as here.
Yeah, this is kind of hand waving, of course, too informal, I would say. But yeah, so do you understand this? I mean, that's the idea. It's perfect, of course.
Yeah. And, I mean, the point was to...
It makes sense. It's easier to show it by example. If you can take like three element lists, two element lists, and then you see that it's true, but proving the generic is kind of a mess. But I wanted you to show it because of the intuition, which I hope is clear here. So if we have a list nested three times, then it doesn't matter in which order we start opening the brackets. That's the message of this eta being associative.
I don't know how I would have done the proof in the formal Riches way, because I mean I could have used the definition of concat, but I would have to define concat in a precise way, and I mean the usual way is to do it by fold.
It looks like you would need to have lots of indices. I mean, you can use the notation like there, so every list is like a 1, 2, 3, n, but n is every time different depending on the index, and there are more indexes, I think everything must be indexes three times. That would be the formal way.
Well, or you can just use lots of induction.
Possibly, yeah. You can prove some material properties of concat.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know, you can one maybe present the second one quickly?
Well, I guess.
You can start with this.
Yeah. Tx of a CPO, it's just this x bottom. And I use the star definition to make a monad. So for xx, this function from x to x bottom, which just injects x into x bottom, and for a function, for a continuous function f from x to y bottom, we just have f star from x bottom to y bottom, which is f from a is f star of a is f from a, f of a, if a is an x, and bottom if a is bottom. So we need to show that those functions we have defined are morphisms in this category. So in other words, we need to show that they are continuous. So we have C, a chain in X, and we need to show that eta x, the supremo of eta x of C is the supremo of eta x of the supremo of C. Well, and since
I'm going to do some indices here, right? So CE is indexed by some I,
yeah? Okay, then I will just use the supremo. I thought CE is a subset of...
If it's a set, but then you can apply eta to a set. Because you want to apply eta pointwise.
It's the image of it's just the image of a subset. So we have C subset of X. Then we go here. And well, this holds because
eta is identity.
Yeah, because eta is basically identity, and the supremum in x bottom is the same as in x if C isn't just if C isn't just the set which contains only bottom. And this can't be because it's a chain in X and not in X bottom. So this holds. And basically we have to show the same thing for F star. Supremum of C is either now we need another C is now chain in X bottom, and Now we have a case, we have different cases. First, supremum of C is bottom, then F star of supremum of C is bottom, because this is bottom and we define F star of bottom to be bottom, and this is the same as the supremum of F star of C, which just is the 1 point set with bottom, because if the supremum of a set is bottom, then this set already had to be only the set of bottom. And well, yeah, this is what we needed to show. Well, I can do the rest next time, or
but the second clause. You mean you also want to prove the second clause, the second part, the second case, if supremum C is one bottom.
Ah, well, yeah. Well, if it's...
Maybe we just do this and leave the rest for the next.
Yeah. So, C is not bottom, then without loss of generality, bottom is not in C. So we can just apply F, F star of C is the same. So of F star of C is the same as sub of F of C, because bottom isn't a C, so we can just add. Then we can just then F star on C is just the same as F. This because F was a morphism. It's just F of sub C, and because sub C isn't bottom, this is the same as F star from of sub C. So we can conclude that F star is continuous.
Yeah, alright. So let's do the next next time. And that was not really necessary to do, because that's I claimed one day as a property of this lifting construction. So we didn't prove it, but I claimed that it was the right not to prove it. Yeah. So, but it's okay, it's good that we did it. So, right, and next time then we bring it on the 2nd of June, right? Because there is nothing before.
Just say it was the same week.
Huh? Come again?
I guess we already meet Tuesday and Wednesday the same week, or?
Tuesday, Wednesday, the same
week. So 2 days before June 2nd.
Ah, right, okay. Yeah, then yes, correct. So then we're doing these three slots using this one week.
July.
Thank you.